Now we're holding on page Nun Hei in Shabbos, the paragraph labeled Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, some middle of Ois Pei Beis. The subject of the parak again is what you're allowed, at least the beginning of the parak, is what you're allowed to save if a fire breaks out in a house on Shabbos. So one thing the Mishnah mentions is that there's a limit how much food you can save. And so the Mishnah describes that you can save three meals, up to three meals worth of food. And then depending on the time of day, if it's ready, for example, before Shalosh Shudos, then you've already eaten two of your Shabbos meals. So that leads the Gemara into a discussion now of how many meals of you're supposed to eat on Shabbos anyhow. So first, actually, Omer of Chista. On page Nun Hei, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the paragraph. Yeah. The paragraph is labeled Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Omer of Chista. It's right there. It's the first paragraph that begins on the page. Okay, it's over here. Page Nun Hei. It's labeled Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis and begins Omer of Chista. Okay, I mean.
Well, I don't do it.
I don't know how you have.
Well, somebody gave it as a present.
Okay, this is the correct
one. All right, thanks. Let's try that again from the
top. All right. So first, the Gemara talks about the meals of Shabbos. So Amar of Chista, lo'olam yashkim odim lo'itzos Shabbos. A person should always get up early in order to spend and prepare for Shabbos. As the pasuk says, it will be on the sixth day. They should prepare what they're going to bring. This is in connection with collecting the mon. So the pasuk is saying that they should prepare what they're going to bring, and that means la'alter right away. In other words, they would always collect the mon udi in the morning. So therefore, the implication is that particularly on Friday, though, they should prepare right away, also first thing in the morning, as soon as they collect the mon. So Amar Rav Abba, so in this connection, Rav Abba says, "B'Shabbos chayiv adam levsoya al beis kikris." On Shabbos, a person has to break bread, make the bracha hamotzi over two loaves of bread. D'chtiv lechem mishnah, because you find by the month that there was a double portion of bread. So the Gemara continues, "Amar Rav Ashi chazina l'Rav Kahana d'nokat treyu botza chodah." I saw Rav Kahana, who was one of Rav Ashi's Rebbeim, that he would hold the knockout, he would hold tray, both loaves of bread, or botza chodah, but then he would cut only one of them. Omar, he says, lokduk, see, after all, the pasuk doesn't say that they ate both portions. It says that on Friday they collected a double portion. So therefore, the implication is you only have to hold the both of them, but you don't have to cut the both of them. Because it says lokdu lechem mishnah. It says they gathered lechem mishnah. It doesn't say botzu, it doesn't say they broke lechem mishnah. The Gemara continues, Reb Zera have a botza akula shir will say. Reb Zera would cut enough bread for his entire meal. So Rashi explains that he would cut an extra large slice that would be enough to eat the together with the entire meal. Like this, in other words, during the week, as the Gemara is going to say, you're not supposed to do that because it looks like gluttony. So during the week, you should cut smaller pieces and you'll take more pieces as you need them. But on Shabbos, instead, he would cut a big piece enough that would last him the entire meal. Doesn't that look like acting in a gluttonous way? So Rav Ashi answers, since Rav Zera is not doing it other days, only on Shabbos, therefore it doesn't look like gluttony, we will realize that he's doing it l'kavod Shabbos. A number of other Rishonim have a different understanding of Botza Kula Shirusei. They say it means, unlike Rav Kahana, who we said would cut only one of the loaves, Rav Zera would cut both or all of the loaves of bread that were in front of him. Also, as a simon, like it's Shabbos and we're going to be more behisrachos, we're going to be in a more generous way. And again, the question was, it doesn't seem like Rav Sanusa, and the answer is on Shabbos, that's not an issue. That looks like gluttony because on Shabbos, because since you're doing it only on Shabbos, then it shows you're doing it l'kavod Shabbos.
Is there an official way to put two loaves together like this or one on top of
so there is actually yes side. So actually when it comes to that you're cutting only one of them, there is the issue of which one you should cut. So yeah, there is discussion about it in Shulchan Aruch and the Nosa Kalim, and you also have Alpi Kabbalah. On the one hand, you have, on the one hand, there's the idea you want to cut the one that's closer to you because Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you want to cut the one on top because it's more Choshuv, and therefore, so altogether with all of that, so putting all of that together, the various halachic issues that are involved, as well as the ones Alpi Kabbalah, then yeah, or minigas by night, we put them one next to the other, and by day, we put one slightly on top of the other. And you have different other possibilities. The Taz, for example, particularly held, you should make the lower one should be slightly closer to you. And that way, it's more appropriate to cut it because it's closer to you. And therefore you avoid the issue of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvahs. So, yeah.
At night, next to each other, and you cut the one from your right hand, close on your right hand?
Our minhag is by night, we put them next to each other and you cut the one that's in your right hand. Right. And by day, you put them one slightly on top of the other. And again, you cut the one that you're holding in your right hand. The one that's slightly on top. Yeah. Yeah. What?
How did the Rebbe do it?
That's what I'm saying. What it says in Hayyim is Pashtus what the Rebbe did. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Tonon Abanon. Kamas Sudas Chayev Adam Lechel B'Shabbos. How many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos? Sholish, 3 meals. Reb Chidka Oima Arba. Reb Chidka says 4 meals. They're both actually doushening from the same pasuk. Again, by the man, Moshe says to the people, eat the man, eat the double portion today, because today is a Shabbos for Hashem. Today you won't find them in the field. So the 3 hayoims represent 3 meals. In other words, Marashah says, since it repeats 3 times hayoim, then we can understand that the ichluhu from the beginning of the pasuk is meant to refer to all 3 of them. Ichluhu hayoim and ki shabbos hayoim lashem, the hayoim also means eat it, and hayoim loisim tzu'u basoda also means eat it. So therefore, so that gives you 3. Rav Chidka Sovahani Tlosa Hayom Levar Me'urta. So Rav Chidka holds, that means besides the one on Friday night. So therefore, you have 1 on Friday night and 3 by Shabbos day. But Rabban and Sabri, Bahadi Te'urta, the Chacham hold that the 3 that the Pasuk is hinting at is throughout the whole Shabbos, including the 1 Friday night. So you have 1 on Friday night and 2 by Shabbos day. And the Gemara goes into a discussion about the halachic angles of that, how that fits with our Mishnah, that whether that can be made to fit with our Mishnah, that talks about that you can save a maximum of 3 meals worth of food, and with other Mishnayos that talk about how much has to be supplied to poor people who are passing through town, et cetera, et cetera. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion about that. Then once it's done with that discussion, then the Gemara gets into some agadta about these meals of Shabbos. So Amr of Shimon Pazi, Amr of Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol HaMakayim Sholosh Sudas B'Shabbos, whoever fulfills having the 3 meals on Shabbos, Nitzel Misholosh Poronius, he will be saved from 3 different punishments, 3 different disasters. Mechev Leishal Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach throughout, in many places in Tanakh, the coming of Mashiach is compared to the whole process of labor and birth, which is very painful, but at the end there comes out a baby. So you have the difficulties before Mashiach's times. You even have in Sanhedrin, some of the Chachamim say they don't want to be alive at that time because it's going to be so hard. So now a person is careful with the 3 meals of Shabbos, then he's saved from that. Umidina shel Gehenim, and from being judged in Gehenim. Umimalchemes Gog u'Magog, and from having to go through the war of Gog u'Magog. Where do we see that each of them is associated with a meal of Shabbos? So we said that the 3 meals are hinted at in the words Hayoim. So each one of these 3 troubles is also associated with the word yoim. Mechev leishal Mashiach, because ksivach yoim, here you have yoim, hayoim, ichlu hayoim, kishabas hayoim Hashem, uchtivasim, hini anechi shalach lachem, eis Eliyahu hanavi, lifnei bo yoim Hashem. I'll send you Eliyahu before the day of Hashem comes, the great and awesome day of Hashem, which refers to the chev leishal Mashiach. So therefore, so there's a connection between those two, that being careful with one saves you from the other. Midina shel Gehenim, why does it save from the judgment of Gehenim? Same idea. Ksiv hacha yoim, uchtiv hasam, yoim evra, hayoim ahu. The Navi says that day, meaning when the Rishoyim are being punished in Gehenim, is a day of rage, a day of Hashem's anger. And mimuchamas gogomo, so again, you have the word hayoim. And mimuchamas gogomo, ksiv hacha yoim, uchtiv hasam, bi yoim boi goig, the day that goig comes, also it uses the word yoim, so therefore that also creates an association between them. So Marashah explains, in other words, that anytime you save from a bad situation, then that can be called the tzara itself is considered called a night metaphorically, and being saved from it is called day. Therefore, very appropriately, being saved from these three things is called yoin. The Bach actually gives an explanation. He says in the Simon in Tur, where it talks about these dinim of the three meals, he says like this: the three meals b'chlal, according to the Chachamim anyway, not according to Reb Chitka, represent three concepts that Shabbos represents. Number one, that Hashem created the world. Number two, that Hashem gave us the Torah, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the Torah was given on Shabbos. And number three, the Yom Shekoleh Shabbos U'mnucha L'chayeh Ha'olamim, the future world of Shabbos. So now, therefore, he says, so each of these three things corresponds to one of those. What do you have when it comes to Bria Sa'olam? It didn't have to be that there was a gradual evolutionary process to create a world. One moment there wasn't a world, and the next moment there's a whole world that the Eibishter created. The same way with Mashiach, the birth of the world of Mashiach doesn't have to be accompanied by all the sufferings that the Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin and other places. It can come right away, and therefore that's the connection between the first meal, which represents that Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, all of a sudden, and the fact that Hashem can bring Mashiach, Yesh Me'ayin, too, without having to go through all the troubles.
About the three meals.
Yeah.
The Sula Shlishi also has to be on Lechem Mishnah.
So in principle, the poskim say that the poskim talk about the third meal should be on Lechem Mishnah as well. In practice, it says in Shulchan Aruch, often you have a person is full from the earlier Shabbos meal, so they don't have the stomach for it. So therefore there is room to be maple. Nevertheless, the poskim in general say that you shouldn't do that and you should use Lechem Mishnah. Minhag Chabad is that, but particularly because the third Hayyim is in connection with the word loy, so it brings in Hayyim, that the minhag Chabad is it doesn't require bread. However, you do have to eat something, as the Gemara is going to say further in this sugya over here. Rabbi Yossi says, Yehei chelki ma'ichle gimel sudis, the Shabbos, that Rabbi Yossi says, my portion should in reward from Hashem should be among those who eat three meals on Shabbos. And one point of him saying that is to encourage people to do that. So you do have to eat a third Shabbos meal. However, minhag Chabad is it doesn't necessarily have to include bread. So it could include mizonis or food or what have you. Anyway, so that's the Bach says the first Shabbos meal then corresponds to Chevlo Shel Mashiach. The second one, which has to do with Matan Torah, we say in Shabbos morning, Davin Yismach Moshe Matan Eschelkoi. So therefore, that's connected with being saved from Gehenim, because the schus of learning Torah saves a person from Gehenim, as the Gemara tells us at the end of Chagiga, Tamar Chachamim are not susceptible to the fires of Gehenim. And then the third one, Milchamas Gogamogad, has to do with Yom Shekula Shabbos U'Menucha. It's talking about the future Shabbos. So therefore, it's connected with the future of Milchamas Gogamogad. But nevertheless, still, when it was said, when the Nevuah was said, it was in the future. And continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mashum Rabbi Yossi, Kol Ma'anig as a Shabbos. Anybody who makes Shabbos enjoyable, Hashem gives him a limitless inheritance. Marsha brings from Beis Yosef, who says midah keneged midah. He spends money without limit, so therefore Hashem gives him a nachla without a limit. Also, Marsha also adds the point: what is Oneg Shabbos? Is you're giving something extra for your neshama yaseira. Well, neshama yaseira, being a ruchniistic thing, is not bound by time or space. Therefore, corresponding to that, the nachla that Hashem gives you is also not bound by any limitations. There's a footnote over here from Omar HaMagia, who says a vote from Heschel of Krakow, who was the Rebbe of the Shach, another other Gdoli Yisrael of that time. He says the vote is that further on, the Gemara says that a person honors Shabbos, Nosin Lemish'alos Libay. Hashem gives him whatever his heart desires. Now, what happens? You have the famous Medrash that says a person is never satisfied, a person never has their full desires, a person who has 100, he wants 200, etc. Therefore, the promises over here, he has Nachla Blimitzarim, that way, of necessity, he has whatever he wants because there's no limit to it. One of the Mephoshim over here points out that I think that Yun Yaakov, that Ma'anig is also a transitive verb, which means to make them enjoy. So it means particularly when he gives tzedakah to other people so that they can enjoy the Shabbos. So not just that he himself enjoys Shabbos, but he gives to others that they should be able to enjoy Shabbos as well. Anyway, so he gets Nachla Blimitzarim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Oz Tisanag al Hashem v'gomer, if you keep Shabbos, as it talks about in the previous Pesukim, then you will have pleasure on Hashem, v'hachal, and he can v'gomer. And the Pasuk continues, v'hachal tichon nachlas Yaakov v'vichal v'gomer, and I will give you to eat the inheritance of your father Yaakov. So that means loika Avraham. So it's not like Avraham shekosibay with his limitation on what he was given, where Hashem tells him kumi salach ba'aretz la'orko l'rochba, get up and walk through the land according to its length and width. So Hashem is only giving him eretz, a finite amount of area, the area of Eretz Yisrael. V'loika Yitzchak shekosibay kibachol zaracha etin eskola aratzas ha'el, not like Yitzchak, where Hashem says to you and your descendants, I'll give all of these lands. So again, it's a limit, only these lands. Eloki Yaakov, shekosibay, farnatzda, yom of akedma, tzafayn of anegba, but like, rather like Yaakov, that Hashem tells him, you'll spread out in all four directions, meaning that it'll be limitless. So therefore, so if we're saying nachlas Yaakov avicha, then it means that he'll get a limitless inheritance. Marsha also adds the point, therefore, faratzta, therefore, is not, now Rashi on Chumash explains that the word of faratzta means v'chazakta, you'll be strong and go in all directions. Here, the Gemara's understanding of faratzta, meloshen pritza, meloshen breaking through any boundaries. Marsha also adds, so taka, why was only Yaakov given that bracha? And the reason is because Avraham and Yitzchak each had descendants who didn't belong to the Jewish people, and then land that was promised to them ended up being given to Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Esav or whatever. Only Yaakov, that mitosa shlema, he could be given this limitless inheritance. So therefore, again, when a person keeps Shabbos, then the Navi is promising that he'll also have that limitless inheritance. Okay, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I'm a nitzel meshibud malchus. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says also a person who enjoys Shabbos will be saved from being subjugated to the Goyish kingdoms. And we know that because here the Pasuk is saying that Hashem says, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. The last words that Moshe says to the Jewish people, you will step on their heights, meaning, in other words, that you won't be dominated by them. Just the opposite. You won't be dominated by them. You will dominate them. So the same way, means you won't be subject to them. You'll be free of the yoke and of the burden of them. So again, one idea is that because he's showing that. Ian Yaakov mentions a point. He says that that Esav got Olam Hazeh and the Jewish people got Olam Haba primarily. So therefore, so when Esav sees that Jews are looking for pleasures in Olam Hazeh, then he has an excuse to say, one second, you're encroaching on my territory. But when we do it to honor Shabbos, which is ruchniistic, so then when a person does not enjoy himself and pleasure himself so much during the week, only on Shabbos, so then he's saved from Shibud Malchus, because now they have no excuse to be Meshabbat. Okay. A person who makes Shabbos pleasurable, Hashem gives him what his heart asks for. The Pasuk says, you will enjoy yourself on Hashem, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we wouldn't know from the Pasuk what kind of oinig are we talking about. In other words, Marashal says, since when are you allowed to just go after pleasures and go after luxuries and things like that? True oimav a karosal a Shabbos oinig, but since we have a different Pasuk that says you should call the Shabbos a delight, heavy oimav the oinig Shabbos, now we understand the oinig that we're talking about, that Hashem is saying, because v'is anagal Hashem, and therefore he'll give you mashalos libecha, then therefore that refers to oinig Shabbos specifically. And the idea is, since Marsha says, since after all, a person is not allowed to ask for his needs on Shabbos, that's why we leave the 13 middle brachas out of Shemana Esrei, and instead we say a bracha about Shabbos. So then instead Hashem will give you what your heart desires. And that means, in other words, you've spent money, you've put out expenses for Shabbos, and Hashem will fill them in, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere. Eitz Yosef adds another point as well, which is, it's true, we learned previously that even though you're not allowed to talk about your business on Shabbos, in principle, you're allowed to think about it. But the better thing is to not even think about it. So when a person feels that way, feels komalach to chasuya, and he's not thinking about his business at all on Shabbos, then therefore, so now, midah k'neged midah, Hashem gives him whatever his heart is asking for. So therefore, that's why, that's what we mean, that when he enjoys Shabbos, then noisim le'mishalis libur. Okay. Next, Amar Abchir ba'aba Amar Abichan, call him a Shabbos, Shabbos kil chosay. Anybody who observes Shabbos the way it's supposed to be, according to the halacha, afilu oved avodas kechavim ke'enosh, then even if he worships Avodah Zarah, like they did in the times of Enosh, where particularly Maharsha says that was when Avodah Zarah began. That's the whole thing that Amma mentions at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. A famous thing that originally Enosh and his generation started thinking that since Hashem sends us Hashpas through the stars and planets, therefore people should be worshiping them and giving them honor and so on and so forth. So it all started with that. So even if a person is worshiping Avodah Zarah like that, Moichel and Loi, still Hashem will forgive them. One idea being, in other words, because if he actually observes Shabbos properly, then it shows, again, one idea behind Shabbos is that you're recognizing that Hashem created the world. So if a person actually observes Shabbos the way he's supposed to, then even if he's worshiping Avodah Zarah, it means he's not truly believing in it. So therefore, it's much easier for Hashem to forgive him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zois, happy is the person who does this. And the Pasuk continues, Shomer Shabbos Mechalaloi, the one who observes Shabbos and from desecrating it. So Al Tikri Mechalaloi Ela Mocholoi. Don't read Mechalaloi from desecrating it, but rather Mocholoi, it is forgiven for him. Why do we doubt it that way? Marshall says two things. First of all, Shabbos is Lashon Nekeva. So why is it Mechalaloi, which would be Lashon Zachar? It should be Mechalaloha, or Mechalaloh, which would be Lashon Nekeva. Second of all, Marshall says, look, why does it have to say that at all? Obviously, Shomer Shabbos means not to desecrate it. So therefore, the whole word Mechalaloi is extra, and therefore the Gemara can doubt in it that it means Mocholoi. Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ilmole Shomer Yisrael Shabbos Rishona. If the Jewish people had kept that first Shabbos in the Midbar, Loi Sholta Behem Umav Loshen, no nation or no the speaker of any other language would have been able to have any control over them. Shenema Vayhi Bayim Ashvi Yotzim and Amlokut V'Loi Matzo. The Pasuk says, on the seventh day, some people went out to gather mon, and they didn't find any. Uchtir Basri, by Yovei Amalek, and shortly after that, you have that Amalek came and fought against them. Now, Maharsha points out, in between, you have another section. After the story of the mon, you have the whole part over there where they were complaining, didn't have water, they were under Fidim, and they didn't have any water, and they're complaining, and the place was called Maso Meriba, and only then does Amalek show up. So why, what is the Gemara saying that one is next to the other, when you have that whole section between them? So Maharshal says, let's think about it. This isn't the first time that the Jewish people complained about water. They previously did in Mora as well. If you're going to tell me that the reason why Amalek came is because they were complaining about water and saying, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu, then the same thing should have happened after Mora as well. So it must be that only this complaining against Hashem and testing Hashem, that in and of itself wouldn't have been enough to trigger the attack of Amalek. It has to be that there was another factor, and therefore it must have been the Chilul Shabbos that they had when some people went out to gather money. Marshall also adds then that the place is called Rafid. And the Gemara elsewhere explains that why is it called Rafidim? Should ruffle your day in Medivrei Torah, because their hands slackened from words of Torah, and that's what made it possible for Amalek to attack them. Now, the point is that Maharsha says, given that it says, by Yikra Shem Amokim Maso Meriva, Moshe renamed the place Maso Meriva, then why afterwards it's saying Yavah Amalek, that Amalek came and fought with them in Rafidim? Why is it still keeping the old name of Rafidim rather than Maso Meriva? So the point is, Rafu Yedei Medivrei Torah means that they slackened from keeping Shabbos, where Shabbos is the equivalent of the whole Torah. So therefore, that justifies what the Gemara is saying over here, that if they hadn't broken that Shabbos, then Amalek never would have been able to attack them. Another point some of the Mephoshim over here make is that after all, so what happened? They came to Rafidim and they had no water, and then the Rif explains over here that they had no water and they complained, and then Amalek came. So therefore, the idea is now, what did it have to be that Hashem brings them to a place with no water? Couldn't it have just as well been that Hashem brought them to another place like Elim, where they had plenty of water and trees and whatnot? No, the vote is because they broke Shabbos, therefore Hashem caused them to come to Rafidim. And because of that, that in turn, they ended up complaining over there, and that triggered Amalek's attack. So it all descended from the fact that they had broken that first Shabbos. With that said, there are other midrashim that imply that they actually did keep that first Shabbos properly, and only the second Shabbos they broke. Rashi brings on Parshas Shlach, when you have the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, that the first Shabbos they kept, and already the second Shabbos, this guy broke it. So a different midrashim. So Amar Rav Yochanan Meshum Rav Shimon Yochai, Il Moli Meshamrim Yisrael Shtei Shabbosis Kel Chosem, if the Jewish people were to keep two Shabbosis according to their halacha, Miyad Nigolim, they would right away be redeemed from Golos. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, in these psukim from Yeshaya that we've been darshaning throughout this whole piece, Koyama Hashem Lasarisim Asher Yishmu Es Shabbosai, so says Hashem to the Sarisim who will observe my Shabbosis. Sarisim literally means people who are castrated. So it can mean the Gemara elsewhere discusses that it may refer to Daniel Hanani Mishal Vazalia. And more generally, the Pasuk is saying such people are likely to think, I have no future. Why would Hashem be interested in me? And so the Pasuk is stressing that Hashem is interested in them and what they do anyway. So Shabsoi Sai, my plural, in the plural, Uchtibasri of Abiyosim, I'll have courtship again. And then the next Pasuk says that Hashem says, I will bring them to my holy mountain, meaning that there will be the Golan Mitzvah Shlema. So therefore, we see that will be the result of Yishmur as Shabsoi Sai, that they keep my Shabbosim. Marsha refers over here to something that to something that he says in Masecht Nida. So like this, the Gemara talks about over there how long an average pregnancy lasts. The Gemara establishes over there that can be anywhere between 271 and 273 days, which in terms of weeks that comes out to that comes out to an even number that comes out to what it comes out to an even number of weeks plus 4, 5, or 6 days. So therefore, the Gemara says over there that Chassidim Rishonim would be careful not to have relations with their wives from Wednesday and on, because that way they didn't want to take the chance that the baby would be born on Shabbos, because then you have to mechal Shabbos after all to in connection with the birth, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on in the Masechta. So now, Marsha points out over there, there's also a Gemara later on towards the end of our Masechta that says that a person who's born on Shabbos is very likely to pass away on Shabbos. Because since the Gemara said, since they had to be Mechal Shabbos at his birth, therefore Hashem arranges that he also passes away on Shabbos as well. So now, Marsha says, therefore, so if people, so when people are not careful with that and they end up having babies on Shabbos, it comes out in effect that two Shabbosim are being broken during that child's lifetime, once at the beginning, once at the end. The sarisim, again, literally means people are castrated, people are infertile, but here it means they make themselves, so to speak, temporarily infertile in the sense that they don't have relations with their wives when it could impinge on Shabbos. So they are the sarisim, asher yishmur as shabsoisai. They work, they make the effort to make sure that two shabbosim should not be broken during the baby's lifetime. And therefore Hashem promises them special rewards. So that's why the Gemara is saying over here, two shabbosis. With that said, there are midrashim that say that if the Yerushalmi, I think, that says that if the Jewish people kept one Shabbos kil chosid, then they would be nigel. So there's a lot of different answers, but in particular, in a number of places in Chassidus, there's a number of Maimorim and Likutei Torah, and in other places that talk about the idea, we mean one calendar Shabbos, but it's called two because Shabbos has two aspects. Among others, there's a Maimor in Likutei Torah and Parshas Bahar, where the Alter Rebbe goes into great detail about that you have one aspect of Shabbos that's bringing down Milamayla, and another one that's lifting up the world, Milamata Lamayla, and therefore we speak of two Shabbosim, even though we're only talking about one actual Shabbos on the calendar.
Who was it that passed away on Shabbos? David Melech?
So David Melech passed away on Shabbos, yeah, we learned earlier in the Masechta, yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara continues with a number of statements by Rabbi Yossi, which the first one of them has to do with the meals of Shabbos that we were talking about, the importance of eating the three meals on Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehei Chelki Me'oich Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos. May my portion in Gan Eden be among those who eat three surdas on Shabbos. So one point is that Marsha says this and all the other things that Rabbi Yossi is going to say, people don't think of them as important. So he's saying he wants to be mizaris. He wants to encourage people to realize how important, how vital these things are. And therefore he's saying these expressions. So we're not saying, in other words, that he wasn't eating three meals himself, but he say he wants to encourage that other people should do the same. various other Mephoshim talk about other possibilities. One of them being that maybe Taka, he was poor. Taka couldn't afford three meals for Shabbos. And the truth is, elsewhere, the Gemara says, "Asei Shabbat Chachel v'al Titzarach Habrias." If a person is really hard up, then better they should make their Shabbos like a weekday rather than taking tzedakah from people. In Torah, in Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, it talks about the details when you say that versus when you say, as the Gemara mentions in Beitza, Levua live ani pereya, Hashem says, borrow on my behalf and I'll pay back. So there's different distinctions made for one thing, whether you have what to pay back or whatnot. In Torah, actually, it mentions that, what? Oh, if you have a mashkin, if you have something that you can give as a mashkin, for example, yeah. And then in Torah, actually, in that connection, it mentions that the Bala Turim himself, Rabbeinu Yaakov, asked his father, Rabbeinu Osher, the Rosh. He says sometimes he said that he was very poor and he couldn't manage to be able to make a proper Shabbos. So what should he do? So we see that therefore, so one possibility is Rabbi Yossi was in that situation as well. He wasn't able to eat three meals on Shabbos, but he's saying, Yehei Chelki, I wish I had my portion with those. Okay, so then there's different other explanations. The Rif points out over here that Rabbi Yossi wants you to know, not like Rabbi Chidka before, who says you need four meals on Shabbos. No, he says, Yehei Chalki, Meichel Gimel Sodas, those who are eating three meals are doing the mitzvah in its fullest way. They don't need four, like Rabbi Chidka, and therefore, halavai, that I should have a portion among them because they have a very great portion of Hashem's reward. And then Ion Yaakov talks about that he's saying, he didn't want to consider himself a tzaddik, so halavai, at least I should have a portion among those who do these relatively kinds of easy mitzvahs. Again, with the idea being that, like Marshall says, he wants to encourage people to realize that even these easy, lightweight mitzvahs are really very important. Amar Rabbi Yossi, another thing Rabbi Yossi says, Yehei chelki mi goymrei halal b'chol yom. May my portion be among those who complete halal, who say the entire halal every day. But the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? It's a good thing to say halal every day. Va'omamar, doesn't it say in a brisa, akura halal b'chol yom harez machara from a gadif? If a person says halal every day, then he's making fun of and he's blaspheming Hashem. Because Rashi points out that the Nevi'im are shown in composed halal, that it should be said once in a while to praise Hashem on special occasions. So when a person says it every day, that it's just like he's making a song out of it. So it's as if like he's putting down that the Nisim that halal is supposed to be said for are not that important. That's fine, but there's different kinds of praising Hashem. This particular praise, Rashi is stressing, is meant for Nisim. So then if you say it every day, then it's like you're just making it into a mundane song. Marsha explains further that the idea behind halal is we say it when there are nisim that Hashem changes nature. So now if a person says halal every day, then it means, in other words, that he's saying it amounts to saying as if Chas V'Shalom, he's saying that Hashem does not have the ability to change nature. So I'm only going to praise Hashem for the things that he does within nature on a daily basis. So therefore, it would be mechara from a gadif, as if he's pretending as though Hashem doesn't have powers beyond. So what do you mean then? So it's not a good thing to say halal every day. The answer is kikamrin b'psuka dezimra. You're right. Rabbi Yossi doesn't mean to say the actual halal every day. He means in psuka dezimra. You have the two kapitlach that begin halalu, halalu es Hashem min Hashemayim, and halalu keol b'kodshe, kapitel kuf mem ches and kuf nun. Those it's very important to say every day, and therefore, And Marshall points out, those in fact are talking about, one is talking about the nature that Hashem created, and the other is talking about general praises to Hashem. So those, not only it's appropriate to say every day, but it's a very good thing to say them every day. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that halavai, I should have a portion among those who do that. Kuf mem ches and kuf nun. Hallelujah Hashem min Hashemayim and hallelujah keil b'kodshei. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have the dinim in Shulchan Aruch, where a person comes late to shul and they need to catch up. Now in Hayom Yom, it says that on minhag in practice that Abayim did not approve of doing that, but nevertheless, in principle, api halacha, you are allowed to. One thing it mentions in halacha is, if you're late and therefore you have to skip some of Pesukei Dezimra, among the most important ones that you should say are Ashrei and those two kapitlach. For that reason, because the Gemara is saying over here that would be goymrei halal b'chol yom. in a more general way, before we talk about that Gomer Halal, that Gomer Halal B'chol Yom, means saying all of those six kapitlach, where they have a chain of halalukas between one and the next. The Ashrei, you have a posik appended to it, V'anachna Nevorach Ka, Me'atav Adolam Halaluka. The other ones all begin and end with halaluka. So in a general way, all of those are considered Gomer Halal B'chol Yom. But it's different, again, it's different than Hallel, as when what we think of Hallel is that we say on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, we're there, that's to praise Hashem for the Nisim that he does beyond Teva. So that's not appropriate to be saying every day. Of course, if a person is saying Tillim, and it comes out that he's saying those Kapitlach, then by all means. Next, V'omer Rav Yosi, Yehech Chelki Me'amispalim Im Dim Dumei Chama. May my portion be together with those who daven at the time of Dim Dumei Chama, which is when there's red in the sky by sunrise, right after the sun rises. And right by sunset, right as the sun is setting. So Dim Dumei Meloshen Odom, it's red in the sky. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says in the morning the sun is passing in front of Gan Eden, and therefore it reflects off the roses of Gan Eden, and in the evening it's passing in front of Gehenna, and it reflects off the fire of Gehenna, and therefore you see the red in the sky at those times. So the point is, Rabbi Yossi is saying the best time to daven Shemoneh Esrei is at those times when the sun is about to rise, and when the sun is about just risen, and when it's about to set. Because in fact, the Gemara continues, Omer Abchi Ba'aba, Omer Ab Yechanan, Mitzvah Leispalim Dim Dumei Chama. The ideal way to do the mitzvah is to daven at that time with Dim Dumei Chama. We learned about this in Brachos as well. Omer Ab Zeta Maikra, so Ab Zeta says, what's a pasuk that expresses that point? The pasuk says, Yiro'ucha Im Shamesh, they will feel you with the sun, Hashem, they will feel you with the sun, meaning as the sun is rising. The Lifnei Yareach, and before the moon's light comes up, meaning while just before the sun sets, Dodim for generations upon generations. So we see that's really the best time to daven. V'amar Yosi, Yehei Chelki Mimesim B'Chol Me'ay. May my portion be among those, my portion of Hashem's reward be among those who die of stomach trouble. Mentions it particularly in connection with Rebbe that most tzaddikim die of such things. Why? Because it actually says that way they go through Yisurim and it's mechaper for their aves. Tosfos elsewhere points out a different point as well, which is that then their insides get cleaned out. So therefore they're even their bodies are completely tahor and kaddish and ready to go to Gan Eden. Also, Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be among those who die on a way to do a mitzvah. Because then, in other words, that means they have a tremendous schus that they were on the way to do a mitzvah, and they died while they're trying to do it. Maharsha points out what happened to Shluchi Mitzvah in Nizokin. So what we mean is, Shluchi Mitzvah means through doing the mitzvah, a person doesn't come to harm. Here we're talking about that a person was in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and then he died of some unrelated cause not related to the mitzvah. So he died while doing a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yossi is jealous of such people and says, Halavai, I had a portion like that. V'omer Rabbi Yossi, Yehei Chelki, M'machnisi, Shabbos v'Tveria, O'metzia, Shabbos v'Tzipori. Also, Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be among those who bring in Shabbos in Tveria. Tveria is very low-lying. It's by the shore of the Kinneret. So therefore, Shabbos comes in very early. So therefore, it looks like it seems to get dark much earlier. So therefore, they bring in Shabbos early. And conversely, Tzipori is on a mountain. Tzipori is on a mountain. And therefore, it takes a long time. It takes longer than usual for it to get dark over there. And therefore, they keep Shabbos much later. So therefore, in other words, it's a very good thing to be bringing in Shabbos extra early and to let it out extra late. Maharsha points out, Rabbi Yossi himself lived in Tzipori, but he's trying to be mezarez, he's trying to encourage other people to realize the importance of these mitzvahs, and therefore that's the expression he uses. There is, in fact, there are other places in Gemaras and Midrashim where it implies that Tzipori and Tveria were actually fairly close together. Nowadays, they're a little further apart, but that's because the city of Tveria nowadays is not necessarily in the exact same location as the old one was. But in any case, they're close enough that a person could actually conceivably do that. He could conceivably start Shabbos in Tveria and within that same Shabbos walk to Tzipori and be able to let out Shabbos over there. So the Yossi is saying it's a very good thing when a person can do that, and halavai, I would have a portion among such people.
Does Canary is still very close to the Kinneret, that's right.
It is, but there's different areas by the Kinneret. So you have there's parts of it that are close enough to Tzipori that would have been within walking distance on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll continue next time, Bez Hashem, with more of Rabbi Yossi's statements. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ola, Gimel 7. There's the mitzvah in the Torah of Iskadishnim Ve'yisim Kedoshim. You should make yourselves holy and you should be holy. That means the Kaddish Atzma Chob Mutalach, make yourself holy within things that are mutter to you. So even in a Yonei HaRishus, even in optional matters, there has to be Kedusha, as it says in the Pasuk, B'chol D'rachecha De'ehu, know Hashem in all your ways, which there's a mitzvah Zeser Shal Torah, so says the Sefer Charedim, and then the Alter Rebbe brings it in Tanya. Then beyond that, Chassidus explains that this avodah of Kaddish Atzma Chob Mutalach brings the Geula Asidah. In other words, when you act in a way, it's not enough just to learn Torah and do the mitzvahs and be careful to stay away from things that are osur. That's not enough to bring the Gula Asida. You also need Kaddish Atzma Chob Mutalach for that to happen. Halacha. We started talking about Birkas HaGoimel. So now, when a person has a nest happen to him, he should set aside money for tzedakah, as much as he can afford, and give it particularly to people who learn Torah. He should say, I'm giving this money to tzedakah, and he writes in that it should be considered as though I brought a korban Torah. The Alter Rebbe phrases it a little differently. He says that the ones who need to say, bench goimel, should say the parasha of the Torah as soon as they became chayev, meaning we said before you have 3 days to say a goimel, but you should say the parasha of the korban Torah right away, and then you should say, and the Alter Rebbe says, you should say it by day rather than by night, but because you bring korban, it's only by day, however, you don't have to say it standing. Then, in addition, this person to whom a nest happened should go and fix some tzorchei rabim in the city, as we had Udiu and the Masechta, where Udiu and Shabbos, where Rav Shimon did that. After he got out of the cave safely, he went and made improvements in the city of Tveria, and then marked all the places that are tummy, etc. And then every day, every year on that day, the person should spend some time alone and thank Hashem and then for what he did for him and tell over the mess.